Hello and welcome to Off the Shelf Reviews.
I'm more of a command don't than a command do.
And I'm Gary, and today we're going to review and discuss Commando, which released in 1985 with a screenplay by Stephen E. DeSouza and directed by Mark L. Lester. Ian, why don't you give us the synopsis?
Well, the story follows Colonel John Matrix, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Most of the members of his special forces team have been killed, and his daughter has been kidnapped by President Arias, played by Dan Hedaya. President Arias wants Matrix to infiltrate Val Verde, kill the president there, or he will kill Matrix's daughter.
My people got some business with you, and if you want your kid back, then you gotta cooperate. Right?
Wrong.
Man, this is pretty much the quintessential 80s action movie.
Fuck yeah.
The director even went on to say that it's probably the granddaddy of the genre. And he may be kind of right.
Kind of.
But, I mean, this was the era of the action movie star.
Yeah.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger is no exception here. Of course, he had only really done Conan and Red Sonja and Terminator up to this point. But, of course, you know, Terminator, if anything, put this man on the map.
Yeah.
Well and truly. And I just think it's kind of funny that Arnold was like, yes, I like this picture because I'm not a caveman or a robot. I'm a normal man. And then you see the intro of Arnie in the movie. And I'm like,
he's not
that
normal.
Ain't no man. Oh man, I saw this film on television back in the day. I actually like rewatching this version. I think it's the first time I've seen like an unrated version of this film. I didn't realize there was like arms being severed by machetes.
Yeah.
So I never saw the pitchfork or the neck break in the on the plane. I was like, man, all that was cut for TV.
It was the same when he throws Cook and Cook lands on the table.
Yeah.
I don't really remember bits of wood sticking through him. I'm
right.
Like,
yes, you know what, this film is a gift that just keeps on giving. I've loved this film since the first time I saw it. I acknowledged how over the top and cheesy it was, but it didn't matter because the film was such a good fun ride. And so all this time later, coming back to revisit it, I had a little bit of hesitation,
then
within 5 minutes, like, three dudes are dead. Like, we start with this guy on garbage day. Steps out, he's like, oh, I don't want to be late with my rubbish.
I thought you missed me. No, we won't miss you.
It's great. And then we see this other guy. Well, we see, is it Bill Duke, isn't it?
Bill Duke.
He plays a character called Cook, who's then like in the car showroom.
Yeah.
And he's in the car and the guy's selling it to him. And he's like, you know what I like best? The price. It just drives it right out of the showroom. I didn't realize it killed that guy, but
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he was a special forces kind of guy, but once he became a salesman, that was it.
He let it all go. And then we see this other guy, this Freddie Mercury on steroids, as Vernon Wells has literally said that's how he played the character.
Yeah.
And he gets blown up as well. So, oh, well, he's not in it very much.
No.
So that's the guy from Mad Max 2. That's a little cameo. But then we find Arnold in the forest, carrying trees on his over his shoulder. He's feeding deer. He's getting ice cream in the face. I'm like, he's such a good guy.
He is such a good guy.
When he catches a fish, he puts it right back in the
him and his daughter, they don't take from the world. They're trying to give back. And that's the funny thing. Like, I know I always bring this up, that the back history of characters, if you don't really give it to me, you know, I do get annoyed because I start making up questions. Commando doesn't have to do that.
It doesn't need any backstory.
It
feels like it's missing its first two chapters.
It does. It feels like there's like a whole backstory to Matrix and his wife and the mother to his daughter and stuff like that and what he got up to. But I don't need that. And the reason why it works for this one and not so many other movies is like what Gary said. Arnold Schwarzenegger. When I was growing up, when I was old enough to go into a video store, if I didn't see at least one Arnie poster on the wall, then I knew the video shop wasn't going to do very well. And there were a lot of Arnie posters back in the 80s with him doing, like we said, Conan, Predator, Terminator, Commando, Raw Deal. It was just his face on everything. Running Man, Total Recall, like, you name an Arnie movie, his face is on it. And when you saw him in that gear, in the commando poster, holding the machine gun and the grenade, you're like,
badass!
Yeah, because we were playing video games at that point as well. Like, Commandos and Mercs and all that. We're a bunch, you know, muscly guys were just running around with machine guns, just blasting everything. And I know technically we had it in First Blood with Stallone, but you know, Stallone looks like the normal man, and that's kind of what a normal man should be. Arnie is more than man.
He is.
And like you said, once we get introduced to him and he's carrying the log on his arm and he's talking to his kid, the whole intro credits sequence is basically setting up, you know, he loves this little girl. He will do everything and anything he can to protect this little girl. And so as soon as the credits end, like I was very surprised when he sat there and he's eating the sandwich with the little girl.
Right.
And he makes this Boy George joke. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Why don't they just call him Girl George? It will cut down all the confusion, I think.
Oh, Dad, that's so old.
Just saying it like he sees it.
Yeah.
And of course, so we should also point out is the actress playing his daughter is a young Alyssa Milano.
Yes.
Gone to have a very successful career in films as well. But yeah, I mean, all of the pleasantries do get cut short, though, as we hear a helicopter looming as it's flying in.
Yeah.
John Matrix is like, oh.
He can smell the helicopter before he can hear it.
Exactly. He's a legend. But yeah, Colonel Kirby
yeah.
gets out. And he's like, John Matrix, like, you might be in trouble. All of your team have been killed. John's like, I don't care. Oh, damn. It's like, I've sent these guys to protect you. He's like, are they any good? And he's like, well, they're not as good as you, John Rambo. And he's like, John Matrix. And he's like, okay, then. And so Troutman flies off. Kirby flies off.
Yeah.
And then within seconds, there's gunfire as this two military dudes just get shot down right away. One of them manages to crawl into the house and the gunfire. I was like, what's going on? Like, the helicopter's still flying away. I'm sure you can hear this going on behind it.
They should have at least listened to the guys being shot before you flew completely out of, you know, view. But Arnie's just like, I need to get to my cupboard. I need to get to my rifle. And so he races off and tells his daughter to go to her bedroom. And he goes in and he gets his gun. And it looks like he's been stockpiling for a small war.
He does, yeah.
But that's okay, because he's a Special Forces
Commando.
You know, which... As the film goes on, I really question, like, who he is, what he does, and what the rest of his unit did, because somehow they had put the president of Valverde in. Valverde, at this point in the 80s, is a very fictional, very not real country, okay? It may sound similar and familiar to places around the world that was having trouble in the 80s, but it's not.
It was also mentioned in Die Hard 2 as well.
It's in Die Hard 2.
Because, of course, Die Hard was meant to be a sequel to Commando.
Yes, and I swear I read it somewhere where the jungle in Predator was supposed to be around Valverde.
Right.
But they were just like, no, it's just in Colombia. We're just going to slow it down there. But he gets his gun and he comes back into his daughter's bedroom and there's a guy just sat there. And this guy, like, what a waste of a character. I just think, every time I see him at the start of this movie, he's just sat in the chair going, hey, armed John Matrix. Hey, Mr. Commando with an armed gun in front of me. Don't do anything funny. We've got your daughter. So he blasts him.
Wrong.
It's like, dude, seriously, what was your plan there?
It's like, hey, that's a similar scene from Terminator.
You can't do that.
Then you gotta cooperate, right?
Wrong.
And so he races outside and he gets to his car, and the car has been wrecked.
And it just makes me think, how long did John Matrix take to, like, go and get his gun and deal with that guy before realizing, like, they'd already escaped halfway down the road with his kid?
I don't know. I don't know how many people there are there.
But
you know,
they've wrecked his car and he's like, just push it down the hill. Like, I mean, if that was a normal person, as Arnie's supposed to be, that car would have been upside down in no time. It would have hit the tree, it would have bounced over.
He'd have hit his own daughter and killed her, and that would have been the end of the movie.
I mean, it does end, well, actually, not realistically at all. I mean, I learned very early on in the 80s that if a car's wheels are pointing towards the sky, it's going to explode. So, I mean, he scrambles out of there pretty quickly. And
he does.
It explodes. I mean, I think you can hear the car exploding before it even explodes. But he ends up getting pinned down. All the guns are pointed at him. And John Matrix is captured.
Yeah.
Bennett.
Do you know what today is, Matrix?
payday.
And we get introduced to Dan Hedaya, who plays Arius,
yeah.
who was the guy that wants to reinsert himself as the dictator of Valverde.
Yeah.
And he's captured John Matrix's daughter, and he's like, you're going to go over there and kill this president and put me back in charge. And we're going to put you on this plane. But all the while, I'm just laughing at Dan Hedaya's most awful, awful accent.
We had to pretend Captain Penny's death so that General Kirby would become agitated and lead us to you. And now that I have you, you will do exactly as I tell you.
So like, he does some of the worst accent in all of his movies, but he sounds so believable to me.
He's super
such a,
serious.
He's such a good actor. He's so believable. I'm like, oh, he's definitely the president of ex-president of Valverde. You know, same in Joe versus the Volcano. Oh, yeah, he's definitely the boss of Joe and works at this shitty-ass company. I've always got to give this film a little bit of credit. For as weak and as kind of watered down as the plot really is involving Arnie as a commando saving his daughter.
I mean, that is the plot.
That is basically the plot.
I just want to say, it made me laugh that there was like three uncredited writers and then the fourth that got the credit for the screenplay. I'm like, how did it take like four people to write this script? Like, there is no plot.
Well, the thing is, though, they've got to try to add some depth in places, and it's really difficult, you know, especially when you're trying to make an 80s action movie, because the hero is literally just going to walk through every fucking wall of flame you put in front of him. But I like that little bit where it turns out that you see Bennett, played by Vernon Wells, turn up, and you're like, oh, hold on a minute, didn't he die at the beginning of the movie? Wasn't he blown up in his fishing boat? And it turns out that Bennett, Vernon Wells' character, used to be part of Arnie's crew of Special Forces commandos, but he enjoyed the killing too much. So after they had got rid of the president, you know, Dan Hedaya's character, you know, they'd all separated. They've all been given new identities. They've all gone into hiding for reasons I don't know. I'm not a commando. I don't know if this is a thing that commandos did back in the 80s. You know, you overthrow a dictator and they just give you new identity and send you off into the world. But because of this, they have killed all of Arnie's crew at the beginning of the movie. And then Bennett was the last one. So when they killed him, then Colonel Kirby, Colonel Troutman, would go and find Matrix. Because they didn't know where Matrix was.
Yeah, and so basically, you know, Kirby Bennett has led them right to him, which is why they start the shootout the moment
which
Kirby
leaves. I just think it's a really cool...
It is. But at the same time, I'm like, why... Like, one...
Yeah.
Right, how did Bennett survive the explosion on the boat? Because we saw him in the cabin, and the very next shot, the boat explodes.
Bro, he's a commando.
Yeah, no shit! You do not survive explosions like that! And then two... Why set him up as being dead only to reveal him 5 minutes later? Like, well, that just lost all impact.
Because he had to stick it to John.
Oh.
He had to stick it to John. I've got your daughter, John. You messed me around too much, John. I'm like, apparently, Vernon Wells.
Apparently Vernon Wells was told, though, that his character does want to stick it to John in a romantic way.
Mm.
But also that he hates him and despises him, but is also in love with him.
Yeah.
So we get a very, very weird delivery and performance from Vernon.
It's but very confusing.
But it's great. It works with this film's what the hell kind of charm.
You can imagine in Die Hard if Hans Gruber hated John McClane but really just wanted to have sex with him as well. Like Die Hard, like him.
I'll be back, Benny.
John! I'll be ready, John.
But they take Matrix to the airport, and David Patrick Kelly playing Sully, you know, the guy from Warriors, I always love, he just tries to act tough, but he's half the freaking size of Schwarzenegger, and Schwarzenegger's just like, I could crush you with my fingers, but I'll kill you last. I'm like, that's a pretty hefty promise there, you know? He's promising to kill you, but he's going to kill everybody else first?
I'd start running now, Sully.
I'd start running now. And from this moment, it's just on it right from the moment he gets onto the plane, because it's him and this other henchman.
Yeah, well, we think he's going to go on this entire plane ride, get to Valverde, and then go on his commando killing mission, and then in order to save his daughter. But Matrix is like, nah. Elbows that guy in the face.
Yeah.
Puts the blanket and the hat over him.
Breaks his neck, leaves him dead.
He leaves him dead, right? And then, like, nobody notices any of this, of course.
Nobody checks.
I mean, airport security in the 80s, totally fine anyway. but did you notice the who the air attendant was?
I did recognize one of the faces, but I didn't actually check it.
That was Teela from Masters of the Universe.
Oh, yes,
that's
Chelsea
Field.
Yes, it was.
So I recognized that face.
2 years from now, she'd put on that armor.
Yeah.
Woman in arms. Yeah.
And so Arnie's like, right, how do I get off this plane?
Yeah.
And the attendant's like, no, you can put a seatbelt on. He's like, I'm sick.
I'm sick. Put some fucking feeling into it.
I mean, he's not mastered the fine art of acting just yet.
That is true.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
He's definitely getting there. And he ends up crawling through. He ends up walking through the plane. He ends up tearing down the sheet.
Yeah.
He ends up getting down onto the wheels of the plane.
Wheel, yep.
The plane's already taken off. And, I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, there's no surviving this.
No, zero.
The plane is already going over 150 miles an hour. So when you hit the ground, you're going to be a mess.
Unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And you can land on a small bush in a puddle, you'll just get up and walk it right off.
And not only that, but you're going to run now. You are going to run your fucking heart out. And luckily you did all that commando training for God knows how many years you were a commando before you got married and had kids and looked into the backstory. I'm not thinking the backstory of Matrix. You are just running. And he comes across Ray Dawn Chong playing Cindy, who is a kind of air hostess as well. A flight attendant, I suppose you call him. And Sully has been kind of coming on to her. We've had a couple of instances where he's trying to flirt with her. Well, not flirt with her. He wants to have sex with her and he won't take no for an answer.
He's a proper sleazy sex pest, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he stalks her all the way into the car park. That's when Arnie kind of takes hold of Cindy. And he's like, right, I'm going to rip out the chair in your car. Yeah. You get in and follow that man.
Yeah.
I'm like, it just looks so silly because Arnie he just looks like a child with a huge head sat in that car as it's driving away. I'm like, is he supposed to be laying low so that he can't be seen?
He is.
But you're not laying low. Maybe he had to rip out the seat in order to just get in the car.
That's it. It's right. But they end up running Sully off the road, don't they?
That's right.
Chasing him around. And
well, don't forget, you've got this whole mall sequence as well, actually.
Oh, yes, I forgot the mall sequence.
I mean, it's a famous mall. It's the Sherman Oaks Galleria, which it's appeared in so many movies. Iconically, by Terminator 2.
Yeah. And the, in the mall sequence, you know, Sully's making the phone call to confirm that Matrix got onto the plane and he's already gone. And so Bennett and the president believe that, you know, Matrix is on the plane and he's going to be busy for about 5 or 6 hours. So we're not going to hear from him. But at this point, Cindy, who's been followed by Matrix, goes to the security guards of the mall and she starts telling them, like, look, this guy's a bit of a psycho. He's following me. He's chasing me. And Matrix is actually trying to be completely honest with her, isn't he? You know, they've kidnapped my daughter. You know, I need to stop them, blah, blah, blah. But he just sounds like a crazy psycho. And so you have this elaborate over-the-top chase sequence where he's chasing Sully through the mall and he's beating up all these different security guards and he's swinging on that
like
rappel thing like Tarzan.
The thing that makes me laugh in this sequence, I mean, first you get the mall guard who's just like, hey ladies, you want to go see me take down this guy? And then he's just like, that's one large motherfucker. But it's during the fight where Sully was in this bar chatting with this other drug dealer or cartel guy or something.
Yeah.
And because of all the kerfuffle going on outside, this cartel guy gets up with his gun and a suitcase outside and starts popping shots. I'm like, what are you doing? And when he gets shot right away and goes over the banister and dies, I was like, they weren't there for you, mate. Like, you just got yourself killed for no reason. I was like, that's one less for Arnie to worry about.
Yeah, you got to keep the body count going up.
Right, but then Sully gets into his car and escapes. Matrix deals with all the security guards, gets into the car with Cindy, and they chase after him. They have the chase, and
because Cindy starts to have a bit of a realization that actually Matrix might not be a bad guy. You know, the guy that they're chasing might actually be the bad guy. But once they get him off the road, I mean, it's such an iconic fucking line.
Hell yeah, it is.
He's hanging Sully upside down by his foot. That's how weak this guy is. Arnie can hold you upside down by your ankle.
Well, that's funny because the director was like, hey, Arnie, you can bench press like whatever.
Yeah.
So just pick this actor up and dangle him over the cliff for real. And Arnie was like, no.
No.
I was like, yeah, I can bench press, but I can't just hold him up outreached over the cliff. Are you mad? So if you look carefully, you can almost make out the crane that's holding him up. Yeah, yeah. I was just like, geez, like the director was...
Hey, man, the 80s, they were trying to cut costs.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Health and safety went out the goddamn window.
But yeah, it's a great lie where he's like, hey. He's like, hey, remember, you promised you'd kill me last. I lied. And I love his scream as he goes over the cliff. Yeah. The mannequin, the dummy, just arms flailing. But it cuts early, so it doesn't look too silly.
No. But they get the address that Bill Duke's character...
I just want to bring up another thing here. It's going back to cars that are upside down exploding.
Right, yeah.
The car that they were driving, Cindy's car, plows right into the tree, doesn't explode.
Yeah.
You know, no injuries at all. But then the yellow Porsche, it's on its side, so it's not going to explode.
No.
But, you know, movie magic, you push the car over, you get in it and drive off, and it's like it's just come off the showroom floor. All the dents and scratches completely knocked out of it. I was like, it's amazing, a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, these movie cars. But yeah, they do get the Sunspot Motel?
Yeah, they get the address to head to the motel because that is where Sully was supposed to meet Cook, give him more information, I suppose. And so when they get there, they're ransacking the place, and Bill Duke comes up, questions Cindy, like, where's Sully? Oh, he's in the shower. And him and Matrix have this fight.
Fuck you, asshole.
Fuck you, asshole.
I always love just looking back and going, oh yeah, that's Mac, you know, in Commando, but he's a bad guy and he's going to be killing bad guy, or trying to kill Matrix, and then Matrix is going to treat him like any bad guy and just fucking throw him over and drop him on that coffee table.
Where is she?
But after dealing with Cook, they come across the information that he must have a plane somewhere. Because they still don't really know where Dan Hedaya's character is.
That's right.
He's not in Valverde?
No, because he's been deposed from there, yeah.
Yeah, he's been kicked out. But I don't actually remember them actually saying, oh, he's here. This is where he is. It's basically like, right, we need to go and get a bunch of weapons. Then we need to go and get the plane. Then we need to go and get the president. And so, like... I may have missed this. I had a couple of beers while watching Commando, because you do, it's an 80s action movie. But they come across the gun store.
Yes. Well, I mean, the Matrix goes there purposefully.
Right, so he purposely goes to this gun store. He hasn't mentioned any information about knowing a guy at a gun store, or there's a particular gun store I want to go to. Literally, him and Cindy just go there. And
he plows right through the entrance.
Plows right through the entrance, heads to the back, enters a code, and finds this secret ammo depot. And yeah. I was just like,
military grade weapons. And
either the movie is trying to make a joke and say all gun stores in America have a secret compartment that have all the weapons in the world a commando could ever need to fucking save his daughter, or John Matrix owns this fucking gun store and knew to go there because it's got a fucking rocket launcher in the back.
Comes with instructions too.
Like, Matrix was like, yeah, we'll go to this one. Why? Because it's got a rocket launcher I'll need.
Yep.
And it's armed. It's not like we need to load it. Well, this thing has missiles in it.
Either which way, though, the police do turn up, though, and, like, Matrix puts up no fight. He's like, oh, okay, I'm arrested. He gets to the back of the van. He's like, hey, will you just call me friend Kirby? He'll straighten all this out. And they're like, oh, yeah, we picked him up last week. So here comes Cindy, you know. She actually saves the day, and she fires the rocket launcher behind her. She's like, oops. Turns it around, fires the rocket. I'm like, it was a good job you Matrix is invincible, because you could have just blown him to hell.
That's it. That's the one point of Commando. Every time I saw a trailer or when it was being advertised on TV, they always just used that shot of Cindy firing the rocket launcher backwards.
Yeah, but I mean, she has it's a comedic line where Matrix, like, how did you learn how to do that? She's like, well, I read the instructions. I was like, well, I mean, granted, most of those military equipment do come with instructions. Yeah. And when she's wheeling them out, the instruction book is actually right at the front there. So I was like, it makes sense. It's not a funny line, but it comes across that way because she did it wrong first. But yeah, then they make their way to the pier and they get onto the boat. And well, we get two goons in the truck chase after them.
Those two guys. They're not even getting these two guys driving on this Jeep along this dock, which is a dead end.
Yeah.
You know, the only way they could go to avoid the dead end is if they reverse backwards.
But somehow he still tries to turn off the side.
He does. And he's firing at one guy's firing at Arnie. Arnie is firing out of the plane with his Uzi. He keeps shouting to Sydney to get the plane up and running, but Sydney's just like, I've never flown anything like this before. So she's just hitting switches.
But she is a pilot though, so.
Which works, but in any other scenario, those two guys in the Jeep would have stopped, fired, killed everybody on board, and Matrix would have been stopped. But it's an 80s action movie. These two guys are not going to stop. The car is not going to stop until it goes over the edge. You know, it's 2 days away from car retirement. It has to go over that edge to complete its life cycle. Arnie is not going to run out of ammo. The plane is not going to explode. And he kills the two guys. The Jeep goes off and then he moves up to the cockpit. And then the worst fucking
compositing
in any film. Yeah.
At least Arnie's doing some acting. He's looking around, pretending looking out the windows, you know? To make up for that atrocity, the film does something that just gives you the film the thumbs up right away. It has the late, great Bill Paxton.
Hell yeah.
In a very small role as the interceptor operator who's monitoring the plane. And of course, Matrix, like, tell Sydney, lower the plane down, we'll go under the radar. And that was the end of Bill Paxton's role in the film.
That was it.
But yeah,
he still hit those high notes, and he still did a better performance than that composite in the cockpit.
Yes. But then the plane. Did you know? Actually, there was actually a filmed but removed sex scene between Matrix and Sydney.
I figured. But there
from what I've heard, they apparently said it was too unrealistic and unnatural, and that the two of them just didn't quite gel together.
Would it have been in the plane?
It would have been in the plane during the sequence. Yeah, no, yeah. That wouldn't. I was like, it makes sense, like most 80s action movies would have that scene at that point, but I'm kind of glad it's not there. It wasn't needed.
Yeah, you need to focus on the commando getting his daughter.
Either which way, we still get to see Arnie in his pants as he's muscle bound, weapon loaded as he rows up onto the beach, and then we get one of the best getting ready to kick ass montages ever put to film. You know, he applies his plot armor.
Yeah, let's not question how he got the information to know exactly where the president was.
But oh no, at the pier before they got on the boat. Oh. They did some mapping and went, it's here.
It's here. Where? There. Yeah. We can't really designate where it is.
Well, I mean, they did do some maths of like by the fuel that it would cost and the time and yeah.
But yeah, he dolls himself up. He looks badass. I mean, I'm pretty sure they used a lot of these sequences as well in the Operation Wolf opening for the Operation Wolf arcade game.
Okay.
Because there's little shots in that game where the guy's like sticking a knife into the canopy.
The bootstraps,
and he's putting the grenades on, and then he stands over his machine gun. And so when you see Arnie stand there with the rocket launcher and the machine gun, you're like, man, he is a commando. And he goes up there, and this battle sequence, you can tell that they didn't really give it a lot of budget.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of explosions and a lot of stunt guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you need for this action sequence.
To be fair as well, the film did go like several $1 million over budget.
The buildings look flimsy as fuck.
Oh, yeah, they're made of paper.
The soldiers don't look like they've even had any real training in the last 5 years.
I mean, when the explosions go off, you can see like the dummies or the mannequins, like crash test dummies, like pinned to the spot.
Or how thin the walls are when a building.
Exactly. They're made of paper. It's like, yeah, okay, but the explosions, man, the explosions!
Not shooting!
And they're shooting! I mean, there's not much reloading, but there's a lot of shooting, and there's grenades being thrown. We see these guys catapulting through the air, like, whee!
Oh, it's absolutely great.
But if you pause it, you can actually see the springboards that are launching the guys up into the air. I was like, oh God, you didn't even hide it.
They couldn't. They couldn't go back and reshoot it.
It was like a synchronized dance routine where these soldiers are just flopping over and flying and people falling off of rooftops. Ah! Great sound effects, and then there's more explosions and non-stop gunfire.
Yeah.
The film does take a moment out of the action where Matrix ends up hiding in a shed somewhere.
Yeah, he'd been hit by surrounded. A grenade, and most of his stuff's been exploded off.
That's
of him,
right.
Yeah.
And so they fire all the bullets in there, Predator style.
Yeah, they shoot the shed to pieces. Yeah. And miss him.
Just because he was hiding in the roof. Oh, nobody yeah. shot high. And then we get the pitchfork, and we get the blades that scalps the other
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, like I've never seen that blade scalping
yep,
bit
never
before.
Seen that before. Yeah, it was great. And the other guy gets his arm cut off, and then it's back to, I don't know, it's like an M60 machine gun. I mean, at first he's like hiding in the shrubbery or in the trees yep, to shoot yep. people. But by the end, he's just standing out in the open. He's like, this is
M60.
This is easy.
You're like, oh,
this is easy. Like,
I'm going to show Stallone how you really use an M60, man.
But then it made me think, I was like, how pathetic is this army? Yeah. But then I was like, no, wait a minute. How pathetic are all the villains in this film? Yeah. Like, Arnie is like a god, a Terminator.
Yeah.
And all of the villains in this film, they are memorable. They're not as memorable as RoboCop's villains.
Yeah.
But they're memorable. But they are also not dangerous, and they are buffoons.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got, you know, Bennett, who's just a cartoon. So we can't take any of this seriously. It's just gung-ho entertainment silliness.
Well, that's the thing. And that's where I think... Were we ever supposed to?
Find them threatening.
Well, to not take the film serious at all.
Don't think so. Yeah,
because
yeah.
like right from the offset, like you said, he's a commando. He can smell enemies. You know, he is just super soldier elite. You know, there's no real explanation. There's no real backstory. It's just literally get him from point A to point B, put all these enemies in the way, and just have him blast everything. And I've got to admit, if I'd been sat there in 1985 going to see, what's on? Let's go see Arnold Schwarzenegger Commando. By the end of it, in my seat, I'd have been like, oh my God, he is just blasting everybody. Yeah, let's do it. I would have completely forgot about characterization and plot build-up. Yeah,
I keep forgetting because the film occasionally cuts back to his daughter who has been held captive, and I'm like, boring. She takes the lock off the door, she gets the thing, she goes and breaks out of the wooden paneling.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bennett goes chasing after her into the underground boiler section.
That's it. That bit threw me off because the president has realized.
The ex president,
yeah. The ex president, Dan Hedaya, has realized that Matrix isn't on the plane because they found the dead body. And so where is he? And then all the explosions go off and they realize, oh shit, he must be here. Go kill his daughter. So Bennett goes off and chases her into the basement. Arnie shoots his way into the building and then he has a kind of a one-on-one gunfight with the president, the ex-president, and he shoots and kills Dan Hedaya. So you're like, okay, that's the villain down. He's now got his confrontation with Bennett. You have watched Jenny escape from the building, go down the steps, through some steam tunnels. You've watched Bennett follow her down. She's got to be at least, I don't know measurements, 50 yards away, 100 yards. I don't know measurements. But for her to go, Daddy, and make sure to go, she's down there.
Yeah.
It's six cents you've got there on your kid. Because he just knows she's down those stairs, she's in that basement. And he follows them all the way down and he confronts Bennett with Jenny. And he's just like, and he just riles Bennett up. Like we said, the director wanted Vernon Wells' character to want to fight Matrix to the death. You know, he was really heartbroken by him. He's in love with him. He
wants it to be personal, up close. Yeah.
And so that's it. So they have to go at it with knife on knife. It's pretty terrible.
It's not the greatest. I mean,
it's not choreographed
like
well.
Granted, like, they didn't get to do what they wanted to do. They were supposed to be, you know, like, Matrix was supposed to rescue his daughter, get on a speedboat, and then Bennett was supposed to chase after him on a speedboat. Then they were going to have a knife fight on the beachfront. They had all this planned, but ran out of money, went over time, over budget, and then they were like, well, we found this basement area. We'll film it in there and just get it done.
But yeah, but the choreography between Vernon Wells and Schwarzenegger just isn't there. And I don't want to hate on the film for that, but in comparison to later films where, you know, the good guy is facing the bad guy at the end, just fight sequences can just
Yeah, there's no John Wick levels of fight choreography
no,
here.
No, and I wouldn't expect it, but the Predator in Predator 2 versus Danny Glover is a better fight sequence than this fight sequence.
Yeah, it's fair.
And then ultimately it just builds up to, you know, Vernon Wells just screaming at Arnie, well, Arnie ripping a pipe off.
Wait, well, I mean, Vernon gets thrown into like an electrical fence.
Oh yeah, it survives.
It doesn't kill him, powers him up.
And then he throws that pipe, which sticks through his gut, and steam still comes out at the end.
Yeah, I was like, well, it must have impaled whatever was behind him then.
I'm assuming so. I was like,
but then we get one of the greatest one-liners again in the film. It's brilliant.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
Brilliant. And then, yeah, you see he gets back onto the boat with Cindy and his daughter, and they're going to be a new happy family now. And Kirby's just like, hey, wait a minute, John. Like, now you're back in the game. We could really do with someone like you. We could start a whole new team. She's just like, nah.
They should have totally made a Commando 2. Should have been like a fucking series.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there is like an unofficial Commando 2. Like, I mean, even the director of this film kept going to the studio like, hey, look, like, there is a legion of fans for Commando. Fans out there have got web pages devoted to this film. People know the script inside and out. Let's make another one. I want to buy the rights. I'll give you $2 million for the rights so I can go make it. And apparently a few days later, the studio went, green light, Commando 2, don't tell anyone else. obviously, no Arnold. No, it's almost as if it doesn't exist.
It could have been an Expendable series before the Expendables. True, you know, Matrix calling in Rambo and, hey, let's get Peter Weller in before he turns into a robot cop. You know, who's that guy over there? Oh, that's McClane. Get McClane in. We'll have a whole crew of it. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, dropped it.
Well, Ian, what are your favourite scenes from Commando?
Man, all my favourite scenes are all the favourite scenes that you would ever know if you've ever watched Commando ever in your life. I mean, I do love the mall chase sequence. I think it's silly. It's over the top. But it's Arnie, you know, doing a Tarzan impression. You know, fighting security guards. And to think in about, you know, 7 years, he'll be refilming again in Terminator 2. So, you know, there's that shot where the Terminator is walking. You look up, you go, hey, I swung over that bit.
Yeah.
You know, his lines with like, oh, don't disturb my friend, he's dead tired, or, you know, I lied killing Sully, you know, or let's party to Bennett. Any of those lines, anything delivered by Matrix, you think would be like, oh, that's absolutely corny. No, honestly, that's pinnacle. Perfect. Arnold Schwarzenegger moments there. It's great. The shootout sequence at the end. Yes, it's silly. Yes, it's over the top. But that's what you've been building Commando up for. And so that's what it delivers. And it delivers really, really well. All the way up to him sticking that pipe in the Bennett. I don't believe this is Vernon Wells' best performance. I still think, you know, Mad Max 2, it is there. But Bennett is just funny and awkward. And when you stick that up against Arnold Schwarzenegger in this buff man movie, it's fun. It's fun.
Hell yeah. I mean, I've got so many favorite scenes in this film. One of the earliest ones is when the goon sat in the chair, like leaning back, going, you're going to cooperate, right? And he just turns and goes, wrong, wrong. It's like, yeah, that moment from Terminator. Great, great moment. I'll be back, Bennett. You know, it's like, of course that line's got to be in there. It would be absolutely amiss if it wasn't. It would riot. Arnie dropping from the plane, like, it surely would have killed anyone. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous, but love that all the same. The security guard saying, that's one gigantic motherfucker. It's great. The entire security mall chase sequence, the promise to kill you last moment was great, where he drops Sully off the cliff. I loved all of the crash test dummies and the explosions towards the end. The car that fixed itself. It's just great. It's just great. And I think one of my other favorite moments in the film as well is when Matrix is facing Cook. And Cook is just like, now I'm going to take you down and show you how a real Green Beret kicks ass.
Oh, yeah.
And Matrix is just like, I eat Green Berets for breakfast. And I was like, well, and that's because Rambo 2 had just released.
Yeah.
And Rambo is a Green Beret.
Yeah.
And so Arnie and Stallone were having that on-screen, off-screen rivalry.
Yeah.
So that was Arnie's dig at Rambo. And of course, Rambo First Blood Part 2 did like three times the money in the box office that Commando did.
Wow,
it blew Commando out of the water. Like, everyone turned up for Rambo, not everyone turned up for Commando.
Part 2 is pretty badass.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, but there's a continuing debate now. Like, which film is the better one? Would you say Rambo 2 or Commando was the best?
I would say Rambo 2 is better, coming off the back of Rambo.
Okay, sure. But, because it already had its chance to set itself up.
But if I had to choose, like, if somebody just said, do you want to watch Rambo Part 2 without seeing Part 1 or Commando, I'd probably go for Commando, because I'm like, oh, well, that's the first one. If this leads into sequels, I'll know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole thing in Rambo 2 where, you know, backlog with his colonel and stuff like that, which Commando kind of does try to rip off.
It does, yeah.
It does try to rip off. You know, both of them are carrying M60s, but there's an emotional punch
to Rambo.
In Rambo Part 2.
Agreed.
You know, which I think just makes it better than Commando.
Yeah, agreed. But if you just want schlock,
oh, yeah.
If you just want high-octane entertainment, Commando is your pick.
Yeah.
Ian, do you recommend Commando?
I do. It's not as good as Rambo Blood Part 2, but Commando is just triumphantly one of those classic 80s Arnie movies. Now, you could honestly make a list of what your best to worst Arnold Schwarzenegger movies are. They will vary, they will change. Some of them will be in the same spot as everybody else. I think, personally, Commando sits kind of roughly in the middle. You know, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger not at his acting best, but at his acting best of what they wanted from an 80s action hero. You know, he's trying to deliver this emotional bond with his daughter kind of thing, while also strapping ammo and bullets to himself and killing like 100, 200 guys on his own. It's ridiculous. It is stupid. But when you're sat there on a Saturday night, you've just had your dinner, you've got a couple of drinks and some snacks on the side, and Commando waiting for you. I mean, you could do worse. You could watch Rambo First Blood Part 2, but Commando, it's great.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm recommending Commando. This is Arnold at his best, and he's got a lot of bests, but this is certainly one of them, and it's one of the best action movies of the 80s. It doesn't have much plot. It doesn't need one. Yeah, it set things up at breakneck pace. It doesn't waste time on character arcs or drama, just straight up action, fist fights, shootouts, car chases, explosions, and larger explosions, followed up with 10 minutes of non-stop gunfire, totaling in a body count of somewhere between 81 to 109. The film is also packed with cool stunts and set pieces, and topped off amazingly with Arnie one-liners that makes this film endlessly quotable and rewatchable. Yeah, it's absurd. It's over the top. It's crazy in parts, and it shouldn't be taken seriously at all. It's just damn good fun. Highly entertaining. Surprisingly, my only criticism of the film, really, is the soundtrack. And I was surprised to see that it was James Horner. You know, I found the score a bit too overbearing and jarring. It didn't fit the mood. It was just too much. It was too distracting, especially the steel drums and the jazz moments in the soundtrack. It didn't work for me. But yeah, overall, this I'm giving a must watch. The film is a gift that keeps on giving. Memorable villains, kills and one-liners, all in 90 minutes. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay. Thanks for watching Off the Shelf Reviews.
Fuck you, asshole. Fuck you, asshole.